All right, get ready to dive into some really cool tech today. We've got some files here all about this web game called Cosmic Voyager and the AI that's, well, kind of running the show behind the scenes. It's like this awesome mashup of retro gaming and seriously cutting-edge AI.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating project. What I find most interesting is how the developer, Andy, has managed to blend that classic arcade feel, you know, with the power of deep reinforcement learning. It's a pretty amazing example of how AI is like changing the whole game development scene.
Definitely. Okay, so first let's just get a feel for Cosmic Voyager itself. Picture a retro, like 2D world where you're an astronaut dodging all this crazy space debris. Survival is the name of the game, and of course, racking up those high scores. You can even use touch controls if you're on mobile.
Yeah, it seems simple at first, but it gets pretty tricky. What impressed me is how the difficulty just ramps up as you play. Obstacles get bigger, they start moving faster, and they even change direction. Keeps you on your toes, that's for sure.
It's like those classic arcade games, right? The ones that just hooked you with that increasing challenge.
Hmm.
Oh, and speaking of classic, did you notice that Andy actually used DALL-E 3 for the game's visuals? Talk about working smarter, not harder, right?
Brilliant move, really. Using DALL-E 3 for the art freed him up to focus on the core mechanics and the AI. And get this, he developed the whole game in just 40 hours. Even used ChatGPT for, like, some coding help.
That is seriously efficient. Okay, so we've got this fun retro-style game. Okay. But now let's get to the really cool part. How did Andy teach an AI to actually play this thing? Enter deep reinforcement learning, or DRL for short.
Think of it like teaching a dog a new trick. You reward the dog for good behavior, and you correct it when it messes up. In DRL, the AI agent learns through trial and error in a simulated environment, which in this case is the Cosmic Voyager game itself.
So the AI is basically playing the game over and over again, learning from its successes and failures as it goes.
Exactly. And to make sure the AI learns effectively, Andy, design this really clever reward system. The AI gets points for every second it survives, bonus points for high scores, and penalties for crashing into obstacles. This feedback loop basically helps the AI figure out the best strategies to stay alive and, of course, get that high score.
Makes sense. But how do you even connect an AI to a web game that's running in a browser? Seems pretty tricky.
That's where Andy's technical skills really shine. He built this whole custom environment using a bunch of different tools. He used Selenium, which is usually used for, like, automating web browsers to let the AI interact with the game just like a human player would.
Whoa. So the AI is like clicking buttons and moving through the game just like we would.
Precisely. Then there's OpenCV, which takes screenshots of the game and turns them into data the AI can actually understand. It's like translating those visuals into a language the AI can read.
So instead of seeing those stars and spaceships, the AI is seeing numbers and patterns that represent the game.
Exactly. And to give the AI like a sense of motion, Andy stacked multiple frames together. Imagine flipping through a photo album super fast. You get that illusion of movement, right? That's what the AI sees.
That's really clever. Okay, so the AI has its training ground, the tools to interact with the game, and a reward system to guide its learning. But what about the actual training process? I'm guessing it's not just letting the AI play and hoping for the best, right?
You're right. Andy went with a specific DRL algorithm called Proximal Policy Optimization, or PPO. It's known for being stable and efficient. He used a library called Stable Baselines 3 to implement it.
Okay, I think another deep dive is coming on. What's so special about this PPO algorithm?
Well, think of it like teaching someone to ride a bike. You wouldn't want them to like make huge changes every time they wobble, right? PPO helps the AI learn gradually, making small adjustments to its strategy without, like, totally derailing its progress.
Got it. So it's about making sure the AI learns in a controlled, gradual way. So Andy's got the environment, the algorithm, and he's ready to train this AI astronaut to become a master at dodging space stuff. What happens next?
He sets up the training parameters, things like the learning rate, which controls how quickly the AI learns, and the batch size, which is basically how much data the AI processes at once.
So he's fine-tuning the learning process to make sure the AI is absorbing information effectively. Did he use any special tools to keep an eye on the training?
Oh, absolutely. He used a tool called WandBee. It's basically like a super detailed training logbook. Tracks everything the AI's performance, any adjustments he made along the way. It's crucial for understanding how the AI is learning and, you know, figuring out what needs to be improved.
Smart. I bet having those detailed logs was super helpful, especially when things got tough.
Definitely. And, oh, there were challenges, believe me. Andy had to deal with interrupted training sessions, his computer crashing, you know, the usual tech headaches.
Oh, no. That sounds frustrating. Did he have to start the training from scratch every time?
Thankfully, no. He set up a system to save the AI's progress at regular intervals, kind of like creating restore points in a video game, so you don't have to go all the way back to the beginning if something goes wrong.
What a lifesaver. Speaking of saving time, did he use any special hardware to speed up that training process? Training an AI sounds like it would take some serious computing power.
He did. He trained the AI on his NVIDIA RTX 3060 GPU. It's a graphics card that's specifically designed to handle those really complex calculations that are involved in AI training.
So he's got the hardware, the software, the data. Sounds like he's built a pretty impressive AI training setup, but I'm guessing it wasn't all smooth sailing, right?
You got it. Those initial training runs, they involved a ton of experimentation. Andy tried different neural network architectures, which is essentially the structure of the AI's brain, so to speak. And he also tweaked those hyperparameters, the settings that control how the algorithm learns, you know, to find that sweet spot where the AI was learning most effectively.
It's like trying to find the perfect recipe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Adjusting the ingredients in the cooking time until you get the dish just right.
Perfect analogy. So once he had a setup that he was happy with, Andy started this like marathon training session. It lasted almost 15 days.
Wow. 15 days. That's some serious dedication. Did the AI's performance just keep getting better and better during the training?
It did, but there were definitely some plateaus along the way, times where the AI's progress just seemed to like stall and its performance would flatline.
Oh, so what did Andy do then? Just give up, throw in the towel?
Not a chance. He's a persistent guy. He dug into the training data and realized he needed to adjust some of the hyperparameters. He focused on two main settings, the clip range and the entropy coefficient.
Okay, now you're going to have to break those down for me. What do those terms even mean?
Sure. The clip range, it controls how drastically the AI can change its strategy with each learning step. Think of it like training wheels on a bike. They prevent the AI from making those sudden moves that could, you know, mess up its progress. By making that clip range smaller, Andy made the whole learning process a lot more stable.
Got it. So it's about making sure the AI is learning in a controlled, gradual way. What about that entropy coefficient?
That one's all about encouraging the AI to explore different options. Think of it like this. Exploration is like trying new things, seeing what happens. Exploitation is sticking with what you already know works well.
So by making that entropy coefficient bigger, Andy was basically telling the AI to be more adventurous, right? Try some different moves and see if he could find a better approach.
Exactly. And it worked. By making those adjustments, Andy pushed past that plateau and the AI started improving again.
That's fantastic. So after 15 days of intense training and some really clever tweaks, did Andy finally have his AI space dodging champion?
He was getting close. The AI was playing amazingly well, but he felt like there was still some room for improvement. So he took the model he'd trained for those 15 days and kept training it for another 2.5 days.
Wow. Talk about going the extra mile. So this extra training was like the final polish, right? Taking the AI from good to great.
Exactly. That final model was incredible. It could play Cosmic Voyager on its own with a skill level that rivaled even experienced human players.
That's truly impressive. So we've got this super smart AI. It's trained for days. It knows how to play the game. But how does it actually connect to the web game in real time? That seems like a whole other challenge.
You're right. That's where the next part of Andy's project comes in, the inference API. Think of it like a translator between the web game and the AI so they can, you know, communicate and work together smoothly.
Okay. I am definitely intrigued. Let's dive into how this API works. But first, maybe we should take a quick break to let all this sink in. We'll be back in a flash to explore the inner workings of that inference API and see how Andy brought this whole project to life. All right, we're back, ready to figure out this whole inference API thing. This translator, as you called it, sounds like it's the key to getting that AI and the web game talking to each other.
It's a pretty ingenious piece of engineering, actually. Imagine you've got two friends who speak different languages. To get them to understand each other, you need a translator, right? That's exactly what the inference API does for the web game and the AI model. It bridges the gap between their different ways of communicating.
So, like, the web game is speaking in game code, and the AI understands neural network language. The inference API is that bilingual friend who can speak both.
That's a great way to think about it. And to make sure this communication happens, you know, super fast and smoothly, Andy decided to use a framework called FastAPI for building the API. It's known for its speed, which is crucial when you've got real-time action going on in a game.
Makes sense. You wouldn't want the AI lagging behind while the game's running at full speed.
Yeah.
So Walk us through it. The game is running. The AI is waiting for instructions. What happens next?
Okay, so as the game is running, it's constantly capturing the current state, basically taking snapshots of what's happening on the screen. But remember, the AI can't understand those colorful images directly. It needs data, numbers to actually process.
Right, right. We talked about how during training they used OpenCV to convert those images into numbers the AI could understand.
Exactly. The inference API does something very similar. It takes those snapshots, resizes them to a standard size, converts them to grayscale, and then normalizes the pixel values.
So you're making sure all the visual information is like on the same scale for the AI.
Yeah.
Kind of like making sure everyone's speaking at the same volume so they can all hear each other, right?
That's a great analogy. With the images all pre-processed and in a format the AI can work with, it's time for the AI to do its thing.
Showtime for the AI, huh? Yeah. It gets to put all that hard-earned training to the test.
Exactly. The pre-processed data, all that info from the snapshots, is fed to the AI model. The AI analyzes all that data and then makes a prediction, basically decides the best move for the astronaut in that moment.
So it could be like, move left, move right, or stay put, depending on what's happening in the game at that second.
Exactly. And it's important to note that the model actually makes a deterministic prediction, meaning that given the same input, it'll always give the same output. So it's not making random choices. It's consistently applying its learning strategy.
Oh, so it's not just like flipping a coin. It's actually thinking and making calculated decisions based on everything it learned during training. That makes a lot of sense. Now, how does that decision actually get back to the web game?
That's where the inference API closes the loop. It takes the AI's predicted action, whether it's move left, move right, or stay put, and sends it right back to the game.
And then the game instantly does that action, moving the astronaut as instructed. It's like this super fast game of ping pong between the game and the AI.
That's a great way to visualize it. The whole process from capturing the game state to the AI making its decision and sending it back happens super fast, allowing for like smooth, responsive gameplay.
It's amazing how seamlessly it all works together. Okay, so we've covered the web game, the AI training, and the inference API. But how did Andy actually get this whole system out there for people to actually play? How did he deploy it?
Well, he chose a platform called Hugging Face Spaces, which is specifically designed for like showcasing and hosting machine learning applications. It's sort of like a gallery for AI projects where developers can share their work with the world.
Oh, so anyone can go to Hugging Face Spaces, check out Cosmic Voyager, and see the AI in action. That's pretty cool. I imagine there's more to it than just uploading a few files, though, right?
You're right. It's not that simple. Andy used something called Docker to containerize the application.
Containerize. Okay, that sounds interesting. Like packing a suitcase, making sure you got everything you need all in one place.
You're on the right track. Docker basically creates this self-contained package that includes everything the application needs to run the code, the libraries, all the dependencies, even the operating system, all packed neatly into a virtual container.
So it's like creating this portable environment for the app, making sure it'll run without any issues, no matter where it's deployed.
Smart. Exactly. This whole containerization approach really aligns well with DevOps principles. DevOps is this set of practices that's all about automating and streamlining the whole process of like building, testing, and deploying software.
DevOps, yeah. I've heard that term a lot, but I'm still a bit fuzzy on what it actually means in practice.
Think of it like a philosophy that emphasizes collaboration and communication between software developers and IT operations, basically making sure everyone's on the same page and working together efficiently.
So it's all about like breaking down those silos, increasing efficiency, making sure the whole process from start to finish run smoothly.
Exactly. And when you throw machine learning into the mix, that's where you get MLOps, which is all about managing the life cycle of machine learning models specifically. It's applying those same DevOps principles to the world of AI.
So Andy's using these principles to make sure that Cosmic Voyager, with its AI-powered backend, is like robust, reliable, and ready for anyone to play.
You got it. Containerizing the application with Docker made it super portable and consistent. And Hugging Face Spaces with its like user-friendly interface and integration with Git made the whole hosting and deployment process so much easier.
Like he built this perfect ecosystem for his AI-powered game.
Yeah.
Now, what about testing? With all this complex tech involved, I imagine testing must be a pretty big part of the process.
Andy's approach was very practical. He focused a lot on debugging and error handling. He used print statements, like leaving breadcrumbs so he could trace back his steps if something went wrong. And he used Chrome's developer tools to, you know, watch how the application was behaving, kind of like a detective looking for clues.
So it was less about automated testing and more about, like, rolling up his sleeves and getting his hands dirty to make sure everything worked the way it was supposed to?
Exactly. He did some manual testing of individual components, making sure each piece worked on its own. Then he moved on to integration testing, where he made sure the web game, the inference API, and the AI model were all working together correctly. And finally, he did a system test once the application was deployed on Hugging Face spaces, just to confirm that everything ran smoothly in its final environment.
Sounds pretty thorough. Now, I'm curious, with all the time he spent developing the game and training the AI, just how much time did he actually put into this whole project?
Great question. We know he built the game itself in about 40 hours. But the machine learning side of things, that was a much bigger undertaking. He estimates he spent around 120 hours on that alone.
Whoa. 3 times longer than the game development itself. It really shows that building and training a sophisticated AI is no easy feat.
For sure. And a big chunk of that time, something like 20 hours, went into setting up that custom training environment, getting Selenium to work properly with the web game, and just getting the environment configured took a lot of time.
Yeah, I bet. Lots of trial and error, fine-tuning, making sure everything fit together just right. What about actually writing the training script itself?
Writing that took another 20 hours or so. Then came all the experimenting, trying out different algorithms, neural network architectures, finding those right hyperparameters. That whole process took about 30 hours. It's all about iteration and refinement, you know, like sculpting a masterpiece.
It really speaks to his persistence. Then, of course, there were the actual training runs, which, with all the monitoring and adjustments, added up to another 25 hours.
Yeah, that's a lot of time spent watching the AI learn. And developing that inference script, testing included, that was another 15 hours. Creating the Docker file and setting up the containerization was a bit faster, around 5 hours. And finally, deploying it all on Hugging Face spaces, that took another 5.
Wow. So all in all, a pretty massive undertaking for a solo project. But the results are clearly worth it. It's a seriously impressive achievement.
It really is.
Yeah.
But even with all that technical skill, Andy ran into some performance limitations once the game was actually up and running on Hugging Face spaces.
Really? What caused those issues? Something with the platform itself?
Partly, yeah. It's because of the difference in processing power. Remember how Andy trained the AI on his super powerful GPU? Well, Hugging Face spaces, at least the free version that he used, only provides CPU resources. And CPUs, in general, they're just not as efficient for these complex calculations.
Ah, so the AI was playing with a bit of a handicap, having to run on a less powerful system. That makes sense.
Right. And that difference in processing power, it can lead to latency, meaning the AI's reactions are a tiny bit delayed. And in a fast-paced game like Cosmic Voyager, even a few milliseconds can make a big difference.
I can imagine. A slight delay could be the difference between dodging an obstacle and, you know, crashing and burning.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any other factors that might have affected the AI's performance?
Andy thinks there might be some generalization issues going on as well.
Generalization. Haven't heard that word in a while. Can you remind me what that means in this context?
It refers to the AI's ability to adapt to situations it hasn't specifically encountered during training. For example, in Cosmic Voyager, the game area actually adjusts dynamically based on the size of the player's screen.
Oh, right. It scales to fit your browser window, so you get the best possible view.
Exactly. But the AI, it was trained on a fixed virtual screen size. So when it's deployed on Hugging Face spaces and encounters all these different screen sizes, it might not perform quite as well.
It's like studying for a test by memorizing specific answers. If the questions are worded differently on the actual test, you might have trouble applying what you learned, right?
Perfect analogy. So the AI, it did great in its controlled training environment, but it faced some real-world challenges when things were a little different.
Makes sense. So what could Andy do to fix that generalization issue? How could he help the AI become more adaptable?
One solution could be to train the AI on a bunch of different environments with varying screen sizes. That way, it would learn to handle a wider range of scenarios and be more robust when deployed in those real-world conditions.
So it's all about giving the AI more diverse experiences, exposing it to different situations so it can generalize its knowledge better.
Precisely. And that actually leads us perfectly into Andy's vision for the future of Cosmic Voyager and AI in game development as a whole. He has some really interesting thoughts on where this tech could go next.
Okay, I'm all ears. What's Andy's vision for Cosmic Voyager and AI's role in the future of gaming?
Andy's, well, he's really excited about the project's potential. He thinks it could inspire other developers to see, like, what's possible with AI. He really believes AI is going to become even more important in how games are made in the future.
Yeah, the possibilities are pretty mind-blowing. I mean, we've already seen AI being used to create levels and like those realistic non-player characters, but what Andy's done takes it to a whole new level. It shows how you can actually use AI to make gameplay more engaging and dynamic.
For sure. And Andy's not done with Cosmic Voyager yet. He's already thinking about ways to improve the AI's performance. Maybe by implementing some of the optimizations we discussed, like training it on different environments to help with that generalization problem, or maybe exploring other platforms for deploying it to try and tackle those latency issues.
So it's like he's built this solid foundation, and now he's ready to like build something even more amazing on top of it. What other ideas is he thinking about?
He's really intrigued by the idea of like adapting this AI training approach for things beyond just games. He sees potential in robotics and self-driving cars where the AI has to navigate these complex real-world environments and make decisions in a split second.
It's wild to think a game like Cosmic Voyager could actually be a stepping stone to AI that could solve real problems, maybe even save lives. It's a powerful thought.
It really is. And Andy wants to leave you with this question to think about. Could this kind of AI training be applied to other parts of game development too, like level design or game balancing? Imagine an AI helping human designers, creating levels that are challenging but still fun to play, or fine-tuning the game mechanics to make sure players are having a good experience.
Oh, yeah. That opens up a whole world of possibilities.
Yeah.
Instead of just relying on humans, we could have AI algorithms helping us create these incredible game worlds,
Yeah.
like having a superpower design partner.
Exactly. It's a glimpse into a future where AI could become like a vital tool for anyone making games, pushing the boundaries of creativity and innovation, and ultimately leading for games that are richer, more captivating, and just way more fun.
This whole deep dive into Cosmic Voyager has been a wild ride. We went from a simple web game to AI training, APIs, containerization, and even the future of gaming. It's been a ton of information and inspiration, too.
It really shows Andy's ingenuity and passion for pushing the limits of what's possible with technology, and his belief that AI can truly be transformative.
And it's a reminder that sometimes innovation comes from the most unexpected places. Who would have thought a retro space game would lead to such a deep conversation about the future of AI and how it could change not just games, but the world around us?
Yeah. It's a great example of how exploration and curiosity can lead to those groundbreaking discoveries that have an impact way beyond what anyone could have imagined.
Well said. To all our listeners, if you're feeling inspired to explore AI or game development, or if you just want to try this awesome game with an AI at the controls, be sure to check out Cosmic Voyager on Hugging Face Spaces. We'll put the link in the show notes.
And like always, stay curious, keep exploring, keep asking questions. The future of AI is full of potential, and who knows, maybe you'll be the one to create the next groundbreaking AI application.
Until next time, stay sharp,
yeah.
And thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.